What up, FIFA Tears? It's B-Rad from the FSB Creators, and we are bringing you the 3 for Tears podcast again for another episode, and normal service has resumed. Luke has returned back to the podcast. Did you have a good holiday, buddy?
Yeah, no, I had a good time, and just enjoyed a nice relaxing week away from FIFA for once. It's been a while since I've done that, probably 2-3 months. That
must have been a very welcome break. I think we could all do with a week's break from FIFA every now and then. And how have you been, Raz? Good?
Yeah, not too bad. Busily doing like upgrade packs last week for almost a full send on Team of the Season. Thought it's the best opportunity to try and get those Team of the Season packs. But other than that, yeah, it's all good.
And obviously I should sort of say to you as well, being as I'm now a new one myself, we are recording this on a Sunday. It is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day, my man.
And happy Father's Day to you.
First of all, before we get into anything today, we'll just shoot to a word from our sponsor, Manscaped, to let you know about our discount code that you can use at the checkout. What's happening, guys? And yes, Manscaped are the sponsors of the FSB Creators podcast, the 3 for Tears. Now, what I can say is summer is here, and so you better be getting your garden trimmed. Now, I can recommend to you the Performance Package 4.0. That is the package that I personally have, and it comes with a free Manscaped gift bag, which is pretty cool. Like, it's a very, very cool free gift to come with, worth £30, but you also get free shipping. You also get a free pair of anti-chafing boxers as well. Now, that's the free stuff you get, but the stuff that you're paying for is incredible as well. I don't know about you guys, but I've used the sort of standard beard trimmers and things on the market. Sometimes they snag, sometimes they're not so good, but the Performance Package 4.0 has the Weed Whacker, which is brilliant for nose and ear trimming, and it is very precise as well. Not only that, but you also obviously get the Lawnmower 4.0. Now, this is the bit of kit that does the business. It has an LED light on there, which you will see works perfectly to be able to get you to see all those little tiny hairs and things that you might sometimes miss, and helps you to be extra precise. It also comes with some interchangeable heads as well. And then we also have the Manscaped Reviver and Crop Preserver as well. They give you that extra freshness feeling. Now, you can get this package, and you can also get yourselves a massive 20% discount using the code 3FOOTTIERS. Go over, use our code, and keep your balls fresh. So yeah, go and get your 20% discount off with the 3FOOTTIERS promo code. Now, obviously, talking of promos, we are amidst a new one, and I've got to say, it is my favourite one of all time. And even better in a way that it's become so much later in FIFA than it usually is, because these cards are absolutely juiced to the max. So, Team 1 for Shapeshifters was initially 99 rated Messi as a centre forward, 97 striker Son, 96 Cam, Hazard, 96 striker Alphonso Davies, 95 left wing Aubameyang, centre mid Atal at 95, a CDM Spinazzola 95, Kalulu at 94, right wing St. Just at 93, Mukiele centre back 92, and Hector Bellerin 92 left back. Now then, EA messed up and they gave us all the free loans, and they actually put some of the leaks in for the mini release, which has come out this evening, in there. So we knew that Grealish was getting a cam card, Robertson getting a CDM card, and Everton from Benfica getting a striker card. But I mean, guys, like, looking at these cards, are they not the most insane shapeshifters ever? I mean, I know we have only had the promo officially like once. There's been times when other cards have changed positions, but these cards look insane, right?
I mean, it is post team of the season, so you'd
they'd have to.
At a minimum, that they have to be, yeah. And even on the like lower end of the spectrum, because as I said, I think it was on stream or something like that. If they had released these cards, and the lowest rated one was under 90 rated or 90 rated on the spot or something like that, then yeah, it would have been an underwhelming promo. The fact that they've come in, the mini release has dropped it down to 91 rated, but the lowest on Friday was 92, which is what you need basically for post team and season promo. However, I got to say, the fact that you got like Son in there and Messi, who have had team of season cards, and well, Messi's wasn't even released that long ago. Let's face it, that was about 3 weeks ago, something like that.
3 weeks, because Ultimate Tots, Serie A, and Negan.
So it's kind of made their team of season cards pretty much almost redundant straight away. I mean, Messi's price is very, very, very expensive in comparison to like his team of the year, for instance. But still, why would EA go and do something like this? Oh, wait, I know, money.
This is true. This is true. And this is all what they are interested in. But I'm all for it when it's shapeshifters, because it gives you those little bit more interesting cards. I know people can change formations in game and move players into different positions, but when they've got boosted weak foots or boosted skill moves, and then they're also changed position, which actually does then mean you can hybrid out differently because you're using a player in a different position. I like it. I think it's interesting. Yes, he came out and he was, what, 7.4 million or something? I don't know what he is now, but 7.4 million. 7.6 now.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. He is breaking the bank for anybody. I mean, no one other than serious YouTubers and rich people have got that amount of coins in their FIFA club. But you know what? If you can afford him, why not? Heung-min Son, though, I used his team of the season recently, and it is absolutely insane. So I can only imagine how good that card must be. Like, if there was, I know Messi's most expensive, but say we had to pick an untradeable, I would like Son.
You always do this. You always go, if I could have anything untradeable, I have one of the best two. You never pull it in any punches. You never go, oh, Jot, a Tau looks all right at 400k or something like that. Let's go for the 5 mil player. If I had an ideal world, I'd have all of the whole team untradeable.
That's true.
But yeah, the thing with this promo, and it's been something that I found out firsthand because I packed one of them and thought, this is actually ideal. I wanted this one when I saw it got announced. Jeremiah Schenzust, butchered the pronunciation because reasons, but he is a right winger. I see that as he's a right mid for a 3-5-2. Defensive, 99 pace, good shooting, 4-star, 4-star. Literally slots into my team at right mid. He naturally wants to play centre back still, though. So,
okay.
He, when I was using him, I gave him 2 free games. Thought maybe it's an anomaly. Maybe I'll put stay wide on him. Maybe that'll fix it. No. Every time it came to defending, offensively, he'd stay at right mid and he'd push forward fine. As soon as it came to coming back defensively, he would do a diagonal run to central centre back in a 3-5-2. Which is not ideal, because then you've got a massive space on your right wing, or their left wing. You get the point. So, I then brought on Caligiuri, similar role, similar everything, stuck to right mid. So I don't know what's wrong with these cards, whether they're naturally drifting to their natural positions more, or what. But, yeah, St. Just for sure just does not work for me in that. I've yet to try out any others, so I don't know if this is a sort of system-wide issue. But he's the one that was noticeable. So,
the only one I've tried is a Tal, because he was the loan that I took, despite thinking that I didn't take that one. And you can see a video on my channel to see how that went. I used him, but I actually played him at CAM. So I had played him at CAM and I had him on Stay Forward. And he was definitely in and about a CAM. He didn't really drift further back. Then, obviously, you know, technically he should drift as far back as right back. But he didn't. He was definitely at CAM. So I can't really sort of testify. I suppose the more interesting ones would be like what you said, like wingers maybe, or would Bellerin try and drift more centrally because he's trying to make his way across the pitch? Would Aubameyang not be seen on the left wing because he's moving across to striker? So they're always sort of like one or two positions away rather than straight across the whole entire side of the pitch.
Mm. But what I would say is Alfonso Davies is an interesting looking one because they've made him a striker, but they've given him centre mid stats. Bit of an interesting choice there by EA, because I'm guessing people are just going to end up putting him in a cam maybe rather than striker because of the defending or centre mid. I know he's got the high low still on his card, but if you're playing, I don't know, something like a 4-3-1-2 in game and you put him at centre mid and you want him as a get forward, get back kind of guy, you would still be able to do that because of the pace. But I'm just thinking with the high defending stats on the card, would you really want to have that at striker? Would you prefer to, I would argue and say it's probably a bit better off further back.
Yeah, make use of the 90 defending stats rather.
Yeah,
than,
basically.
Yeah. I'm going to say I actually wouldn't mind trying this at striker generally, and 90 defending would actually help back me up a little bit, because with how I like to press so high from the front, having someone who's got good defending up front who's clinical at the same time can maybe make that press a little bit more effective.
Yes, and I would also say the problem is sometimes the high defending stats, like the high defensive awareness, pushes them a bit further, even though he's got high low work rates, pushes them a bit further back in terms of positioning when they're not on the ball, basically, for like when you're defending. And then if he's going a bit further back because he's got high defensive work rate awareness, then that means when you're doing like your counterattacks or something like that, he's further back, which means can be a bit irritating in that sort of sense if you've got them on stay forward and you want them like maybe 10 yards further up the pitch to begin that run.
So in the sense that like his defensive stats counteract his high-low work rates?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, and that would be a negative part of the card because obviously you really do want, I mean, most people would want, I would imagine, their strikers to be either high-low or high-medium. You wouldn't want suddenly them to be a high-high or even worse than a high-high. You've packed a couple?
I have, yes. So, as mentioned, I've packed St. Just, I've packed them twice, which one for each account, which is very nice. And I've got Mukiele as my other one, yet to try him out. He doesn't suit my team at the moment for the RTG, but that's probably going to change. So we can work our team around it or just sell him on, whichever really think. I don't think he's worth that much. It's about 60-70k.
Which is insane, isn't it? It's insane.
French centre-back,
links from Bundesliga. He's got other decent links as well this year, like Tolisso, if anyone got that card during the promo, is a really insane card, so he gives a strong link to that.
Perfect link. It's, no, not strong, perfect strong link. No, be getting carried away. Strong link to the Hernandez, though.
Well. Yeah, strong link to Hernandez as well. Yep, showdown Hernandez. So there's loads of cards that he does give some great links to. Obviously, as well, a lot of people in Liga and Tots may have packed like Klaus and things like that to play at right back. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential avenues. So I'm very surprised at such a low. I am surprised, but then I'm also reminded that this year prices have been, you know, the strangest they've ever been.
Here's a question though. Mukiele and Kululu, very similar. Mm-hmm. So two defending more on Kululu, one more physical on Kululu, two less dribbling, one less pace, same shooting, one more passing. Four star skill is important, but on a centre back, how much is that important? 70k compared to Kululu's 270k. That's going to be for the perfect link to Theo and for Maignan or Mignon. But
yeah, potentially, because I suppose that then allows them to do whatever they want elsewhere on the team, I suppose.
But is that worth 200k?
No,
it's not worth 200k.
Yeah, it's not worth 200k, but I think the reason why it's 200k difference is because Mukiele's probably being packed way more because he's two ratings lower. If they were probably the same rating as each other, they're probably getting packed about the same amount, so they'll probably end up being similar-ish in price, I would imagine. Maybe Mukulele would still be cheaper because I think there's still not that much interest in the Bundesliga. I usually like building Bundesliga teams, but I've felt a bit off when using Bundesliga players, and there's not really been much love from EA towards the Bundesliga this year in terms of like the variety of the cards. They tend to, when they do, go in the same positions like all the time. So you end up being like heavy on one side rather than the other.
Yeah.
And with the fact that you've got also today, you've got your Chiellini that came out.
Third SBC card for Chiellini, by the way. Premium, yeah. End of an era SBC. He got the foot captains, I believe it was. And yep. He got, obviously, signature signings when he was the flashback. So,
yeah.
He is Mr. SBC. It's no longer Tonali.
True.
But still Italian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Although Insigne's got two as well.
Stay consistent in one side. Yeah, he has, yeah.
Numbers up.
So I'm expecting to see a Summer Stars Insigne as an SBC as well, probably, if we do get Summer Stars this year. I have seen, I think, like, obviously Bellerin's probably the cheapest out of them all, and I've seen lots of people open packs, and actually St. Just is the one I've seen come out more than any others. So it doesn't surprise me that when Luke Sane has packed a few, that he has packed St. Just. I haven't packed any, but then I haven't really opened that many packs. I have opened a couple of 50Ks from like rewards and things, but yeah, I've not got one. I feel like the probably pack weight is a little bit lower, but that's probably because like Mers appointed to EA are after money.
Never.
But obviously the release of the two new ones tonight, or the three new ones tonight. So Andy Robertson's CDM card looks nice, but I don't think it's desirable in the sense that you've pretty much got to build Liverpool to get him on his chem.
Dalglish.
Yeah, Dalglish would give him a strong link, but not a lot of other sort of Scottish players that people will be using in their teams, I don't necessarily feel. Mm-hmm. Already down to 249k, considering he's only been out 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Grealish. Now, I haven't seen this guy's price. I imagine it is a lot. Wow, okay, 500k. That surprises me, because I've come up against Foot Birthday Grealish a lot in Foot Champs, and that guy seems to be nimble, tears me a new one. This one's obviously 5-star, 4-star. He's a cam. He's high, medium work rates. 95 pace, 93 shooting, 95 passing, 97 dribbling. He looks insane. And then Everton. Now, not a very sought-after card. I imagine I'm now going to look. He'll be fairly cheap. And he is 51k. Now, I've got his fire card, the left mid objectives.
Uh-huh.
And obviously it's significantly dropped in stats. It was free, unlike this one, although this one is only 50k, but still 96 pace, 95 dribbling, 91 passing. He's got 87 shooting, so you probably want to boost that. But again, he's got 5-star skills. He's 5-star, 4-star. He's Brazilian. He's high low. I think this is a nice card to try out, you know.
He strong links to Darwin Nunes' 5-star skills.
That's true. And what is his price now? I mean,
330.
At one point. So that's not bad. That's a great strike partnership for 380k, isn't it? Yeah. And fun. Something you won't see every week.
And he is and he's bloody lethal. Is at least Nunes.
Well, I was going to say, you've done a video on Nunes, didn't you?
I did.
I believe, get him very cheaply as well.
That wasn't Nunes. That was Alvarez that I got very cheap. Alvarez, yes. The one I got very cheap. Yes. But Nunes is also very good.
Yeah. So as a double partnership, I think they'd be interesting to use, and certainly now towards the end of the game, if you have got coins to use of that kind of value, I'd be tempted, but that's pretty much it for Shapeshifters Team 1. Obviously, we haven't seen much in the way of Team 2 yet, I don't believe. We don't leak on this channel, even if we had. But if you guys, not to put you too much on the spot, but if you could pick one card that you'd like to see shifted into a different position, what would it be? What would you sort of want to see on the card as well?
You're already ahead of me on this, because I was going to start talking about a little notice here. Messi wasn't in Ultimate Team of the Season. Messi gets Shapeshifters. No. Same with Heung-min Son, notably left out of Team of the Season, just like he's left out of PFA Team of the Year, but less about that. Neymar wasn't in Ultimate Team of the Season. Now, I'm not saying that we're getting possibly a right-wing Neymar, because obviously he's already had a striker for Winter Wild Cards. Right-wing would make sense.
Yeah.
He's a notable person that wasn't in there. So Sadio Mane's also had a central card, so maybe him for a right... Like, you got them as potential right-wingers, because they've already had central cards. I think if you're going to look for who's going to be the marquee names, look for someone who got a Team of the Season and wasn't in Ultimate Tots is probably your first go-to here. Mm. That being said, they could just go sod it with bringing back left-wing Ronaldo.
And that is one that I have thought about, because he was in a previous Shapeshifters promo. That's and right. Why not try and boost, you know, if you're going to put Messi in, why not try and just make that extra bit more coins by putting his sort of biggest rival, I suppose, or whatever you want to call them. They are rivals, but closest sort of comparable player in the promo as well. I could see him getting a card that he hasn't had this year, or a card boosted into a different position. I don't, obviously, it would never be as so much to have put it into like a defensive role. So you're definitely looking at it's going to be pushed to the wings. Neymar would be lovely. I would like to see that. Not necessarily. I still use in my team his flashback card.
Okay.
So for me, to push him to right wing wouldn't necessarily work, because it would mean I'd have to also push out my flashback Mahrez, who I still use as well. So in order for that to work for me, I'd need Mahrez to get a left wing card, and then...
Or you'd get a different member of your team. That also works.
Yeah. But nothing I've seen since I've had those cards, or had when I've since I've tried anybody over those cards, I've liked more than those cards. So that's why they're still in my team at this stage of the game. The other thing I should note as well, obviously we covered mini release, we covered the team potential ones we'd want to see, is obviously there was also a Shapeshifters Carrasco, which actually has two available positions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have the right wing, which looks incredible. Like 99 finishing, 99 pace, 99 dribbling, 99 long shots. Looks insane. But then you had the CAM version with 99 dribbling, 96 passing, 98 acceleration, 99 agility are some of his best stats. Again, 5-star, 4-star.
They inverted them. So
4-star, 5-star on the right wing version, and 5-star, 4-star on the CAM version. I just think probably... I mean, I'm sort of ripping off what I'm looking at here, but there are cards in this position, or there are cards in this game, rather, that are very similar in stats that already exist. When you could think that you've got to sink, I think it's around 450k into the SBC. Obviously, La Liga, that's fine. A lot of people may run La Liga teams, and he'll link nicely in that sense, but he's Belgian, so not a lot of massive Belgians. Obviously, Eden Hazard is in this promo as well, so if you had him and wanted them both at CAM, or one at CAM and a striker to start off with chemistry and stuff, then you could do that. But there's... João Felix's Team of the Season apparently has very, very similar stats to the CAM card.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the right-wing version, unless you didn't do him, of course, Showdown... Rodrigo has very similar stats as well. So whilst it's you know, a new SBC card, you can get to choose what one you want. There's already games that exist, players that exist in this that are already very similar to this. Do you think that kind of deters people away from doing this sort of SBC and sinking their fodder in, especially given the life cycle we're in at the game and wanting to maybe just keep on doing the repeated after repeated after repeated icon moments SBC?
I mean, to be fair, I don't really do the icon SBCs, but
me neither.
Carrasco is a player that I tend to like in previous FIFAs, so I wouldn't hesitate so much to maybe do it if I had the fodder to do him. And also, I quite like going La Liga this year at the moment with my teams. However, if I did pick one of those two, I'd probably go with, I'm going to say the cam version. No, actually, no. I'll go with the right wing version because of the higher shooting and then boost his, and also the 99 pace, and then boost his passing and dribbling or something like that on the card. And well, then he'll be, and then switch him in game.
Yeah,
to
I was
like
going to say, and then switch him into a cam. Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that people would consider as well, isn't it? Is that when, you know, they've got the two versions, but you can still play both of them at cam or both of them at striker. So it's a case of which one do you think has got the better stats for that position. So really, having these kind of, with that sort of ability to be able to change formations in games and move people, these cards where you get to choose a type aren't necessarily actually as valuable as they appear or as unique as they appear, because people are just doing it in game anyway. People might look at, I mean, we had that guy, what was that guy's name, the centre mid, the French card, who was a striker.
Oh, Rippart.
Rippart, yeah, like the perfect CM stats around that time as a striker. So he was someone that if you bought him and put him in his chemistry as a striker, but play him as a CM, if you already had a Mbappe or something converted to centre mid, who you could then switch to go to striker. So I don't know whether this is now the right time, especially with the fact that we are at the end of the cycle, to be doing these pick your own kind of stats. But like Merz says, I suppose one, you get to choose on these ones which of the stats you want boosted and which ones you want to put a chem style on, but you can also choose between whether you think weak foot is king or skill moves is king, which I think is quite a common battle. I preferred weak foot up until this year, and now I would probably choose 5-star skills over everything.
I think I still prefer weak foot to 5-star skill. If I have the option of one being 5-star, the other's 4, I go the side of, I go weak foot. I don't, as much as I do like 5-star skills from time to time, I don't have it ingrained in me as much as I probably should.
Mm.
And honestly, the debate about whether these cards are too similar to Felix, to Rodrigo, I will raise the point that specifically in the Felix / Suarez one, that makes a beautiful strong link triangle. You can have Team of the Season Suarez, Team of the Season Felix, and then Shapeshifters Carrasco sitting at your front three, and they should just tear teams apart.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little strong link triangle there. And there's, to be the second best right winger in the division, and Liverpool fans may have still done this card and just because it's a really bloody good card and didn't expect to get upgraded. But generally, I didn't do Rodrigo. I regret not doing Rodrigo. This gives me an opportunity to have someone similar. And yeah. Belgium's not that bad of an age. It's not as bad as it was made out to be in this. It's still an okay nation. You've still got KDB. You've still got versions of Lukaku. If they decide to do him as something in this promo, he could be someone that screams out something for this promo.
He could be my CDM that I'm talking about, actually.
Yeah, he absolutely could scream that out.
Yeah.
You've got some good cards available, maybe not as many as you'd think, and in some dodgy leagues, i.e. the Belgian League, with them getting Team of the Season, Van Aken and De Ketler, good centre mids, but yeah, it's an okay card. If it's a little bit cheaper, then I think people flock to get it done. If that's sitting around 200k, 250, if it's, I believe it's sitting around 450, which makes it about 90k more than Rodrigo was.
Yeah.
And how much of an improvement is it on Rodrigo, considering that card shreds people already?
Yes. And the thing is as well, like, when with the comparison, like with the Felix on the cam card, you're looking at like he is exactly the same price as the SBC right now. The bonus being that, obviously, I know people will use fodder, so when we say prices, they're not as concrete, because people say, well, it's not that price for me because I can get that SBC done for free with my fodder. This, if you got Felix, who's meant to be, in terms of in-game stats, etc., similar, you can actually just buy Felix and sell him, and still, obviously, you might make a little bit of loss on coins, but you still will have a fundamental base of coins. Whereas if you went and did Carrasco with coins, they're gone, aren't they? And if you don't like him, or he doesn't perform as you want to in-game, then your coins are gone, and he's a very, very expensive fodder. Have you guys used his Team of the Season at all?
No.
So I haven't even. It would be something that I'd like to, like, if we could ever get, like, just loans somehow, like, if you could do an objective or do something to get a loan, and you could use the Team of the Season Carrasco, you could try him out and then think, actually, I want to try him out as a Shapeshifter's card. Let's try out his loan version. That would be a good way to sort of see a comparison between the left mid and the... Because like we said, in terms of position changes, they can just change the left mid in game to cam anyway. I don't really know how much juiced his stats are. I imagine still quite a lot. But a lot of people may already have packed Carrasco Team of the Season and be using him in that same vein anyway. So that's going to discourage people from wanting to do the SBC. Obviously, he's only 4-star, 4-star on his TOTS card. He's got still 96 pace, 94 dribbling, 91 shooting, 90 passing, so he looks generally really good. Obviously, they'll slap a couple of chem stars on him. He's high on his TOTS card.
To be fair, his cam card on Shapeshifter is high as well. His right wing is high-medium, but the cam is high.
Ooh, so there's another interesting thing. So actually, if you want the high-medium, you'd probably be more inclined to do what you said, Merz, get the high-medium and play him as the cam or striker.
Exactly.
Because he's not going to get back as much.
Yep, essentially. Mm-hmm. Before we move over to transfer talk, I want to ask you this one critical question, which is something that I thought in my head. Should they have just maybe... I don't have a problem with the Shapeshifters, but maybe just released it next week so there's a little bit of a break between Team Season and the next promo, just because of the pure fact that I think a lot of people are really fatigued out from Team Season, because obviously it was very good with all the content, but people's clubs have been heavily drained from it doing it, especially with Ultimate Team Season and all those Team of Season SBCs that they released, especially considering that like that one had 5 to do and the EE figs had 3 that you could do, and I did like pretty much nearly every single one of them, and like again foot champs, and that's why I haven't done foot champs this weekend, just because I was like I just want like a sort of detox from it all.
I don't know, because I don't know what's around the corner after this. That's the only thing I would say.
Footies, I would say, is probably what is going to happen after this, because it would be that time of the year. Because you've got to remember, footies does go on for quite a while. It goes on for about 4 weeks or so, footies, normally.
So I just opened up my 85 times 20. You know, we were talking about whether a certain player would go back to left back.
Huh.
Yeah, I can test that out now. So yeah, Alfonso Davies, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, talking of him transferring positions, it is time for transfer talk. So, we have got a few more confirmed deals this week, a few more speculations, a few more rumours. Main ones continuing being Frankie de Jong still seems to be lost on his way to Manchester, still trying to avoid their clutches desperately. We've got Basuma, who's now gone to Spurs officially, which, as a Spurs fan, I am absolutely buzzing about. That's a dead cheap deal, 25 million, considering he's been quoted as, what, 40, 50 plus the last couple of years. Last year of contract, I don't know how we got it almost so uncontested. You'd have thought he'd have been on everyone's minds, right?
Yeah, he would have definitely been, maybe some clubs been on the scouting radar. But then again, if you move quickly, you can get things done, and that's what you've done. That's what it is, probably. You didn't give the opportunity for others to get in there.
And that's what scares me. Tottenham are getting business done early. We never do this. We normally go, oh, it's approaching deadline day. We best start to do things. Conte's whipped Levy into shape and gone, I need this. I need this, I need this, I need this. If you want trophy, give me this. So it looks like that spending spree's not over yet. There's so many players linked with Tottenham at the moment, I don't know what to do. It's almost like we've got the Bale money back, and hopefully we don't do what we did with that by seven people that aren't quite there. But looking at the BBC, they are reporting that Raheem Sterling could be leaving Man City to go to Chelsea, which I think is the most logical step for him as a player. The only other place I could have seen Sterling realistically going would have been Newcastle, but that would be a big step down initially.
I thought that was on the cards.
The thing with Sterling, he was like that missing piece almost that slotted the jigsaw in for Man City here. They won the league, obviously, before Sterling joined.
Yeah.
But it felt like he would be that pro... If he went to Newcastle, it would be that piece again that would help kick it up another gear.
I think so. And I think obviously, there's that sort of promise that he's still going to... Well, but he might... Probably not a pay rise, but his price or wages will be far less affected at a Newcastle. I don't think he'll quite get the same at Chelsea. It's not necessarily, but I just don't think... I've seen that Chelsea are also looking at Ousmane Dembele, and I don't know, if that guy stays fit, does he not look better than Raheem?
Free transfer as well. Know. Free transfer as well. Ousmane Dembele is a very curious case, because he was sort of on the ropes for a while for Barcelona, then suddenly he's not signed and he hits a good vein of form.
And he's just, what we know, he's injury prone, isn't he?
And I think we're going to have to come back to that typical transfer phrase of Premier League proven being important.
Yes.
Ousmane Dembele obviously performed well in that one season at Dortmund. He's done fairly well within reason. So not kicked on because of his injuries as much. Do you want to buy an injury-prone player? It would be just wages, but how much is he asking as well? You then move on...
It's tough because that's a risk, isn't it?
It is a big risk. It is a big risk because he's had... massive injuries as well. They've not been small little injuries adding up. It's been, what, six months here, 9 months there. Almost.
Yeah,
it's a huge risk to sort of pick up someone like him, but it could pay big dividends. At the same time, he's only 2 years, I believe, younger than Sterling. So, Premier League proven, two years older, 25 versus 27. Maybe you go with the established name of Sterling. But who knows? Talking, though, of City, they are looking to strengthen at left-back, with Mark Cucurella being the main man, Brighton's player of the season, being linked. 50 million, I think, is what I'm seeing. Is it prepared? Mm-hmm. What you'd expect to sort of see come in? Because he signed from last year, so he's... No pressure when it comes to contracts at all.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton can just ask for whatever they want at this stage. It's not like they're under pressure like they were with Bissouma. Brighton are becoming a bit of a selling club at this stage. Brighton have been doing well. Last year they sold Ben White for 50 million. Bissouma this summer for 25, and if they sell Cucurella, how much did they originally sign Cucurella for? You wouldn't have expected to be much over like 10, would you?
I think it was about 20.
Is it 20?
Yeah, I think it was in the region 20.
Okay.
20 to 25, something like that.
I'd have to look.
Yeah, I'm going to just have a look.
In terms of what you're saying about Brighton are becoming the selling club, I think it's boiling down to how the Graham Potter's making them somewhat of a successful club, or punching above their weight at a minimum, basically. And a similar example would be Southampton about, what, like 5 years ago, where they were having somewhat good success, you know, getting comfortably into the mid-table region of the Premier League. Mm. And every summer, Liverpool mainly, were poaching their players away.
Mm. 15.4 million, 18 million euro release clause is what I've seen for Cucurella last summer. So he'll be turning a very tidy profit on him.
Yep.
Let's have a look. Some other ones. We mentioned Southampton just a second ago. They're linked with the absolute meme himself, Phil Jones, along with Leeds and Fulham. Now, this backs up what I said a couple months ago about hot takes. I said Phil Jones would be a good centre back for a mid-table to lower half Premier League side. Go on, Phil, test that theory.
Was that when he featured in that one game?
Two games, but yes. He featured twice this year, and I'm pretty certain the second time was against Liverpool when they got knocked for five. But yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I know what I'm talking about.
He was the best player on that night as well, wasn't he?
Says a lot, doesn't it?
I mean, he's a no-nonsense centre-back. That's what you need down the bottom half of the table. I'm not saying he's going to be sort of a well-beater, but it'd be good to see him given a chance.
Definitely. And to be fair, it might help his career. I mean, just look at what Chris Smalling's done since he's been able to step away from Man United.
True, that was a different league, so a different pace of the game.
Roma and Southampton. Yeah, I'm not sure they quite match
not
up.
In terms of the quality of the team, but obviously it would help his career. Like, going from being on the bench.
Regular game time matters.
Basically.
Yeah, it certainly won't hinder his career, yeah.
Yeah.
And, Merz, going to you, we know Arsenal have made some moves in the transfer window. Obviously, Marquinhos, we covered last week. You've got a new attacking midfielder, I believe, and a new number 14.
Apparently it's like a new sign-in. It just isn't right.
The wages are.
What, mark my words, like any Arsenal fan that's listening to this, when it comes to next season, the fraud will show up, and you'll realise why I kept saying we should have just let him leave the club on a free, because he probably just put in those couple of performances so that his agent and himself could do exactly this, get a nice contract and get himself some free money, basically. And then it's going to be hard to get rid of him now. So, brilliant.
5 years, I believe, is the deal. So that's quite the long haul he's in there for.
So just for those wondering who we are talking about.
Nketiah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we said, obviously, if you haven't listened or watched some of our podcasts, for those on YouTube, we were saying about Nketiah towards the end of the season performing quite well for Arsenal and making a lot of influence in a couple of the games towards the end. And this is what Mo's referring to, is instead of seeing him out the door, he's looks like he's getting his foot firmly in. But do you think, though, that he will see, if you do like sign, say, a Gabriel Jesus or someone like that, because there's obviously a few rumours around, do you really think you'll see that much football? Like, Premier League football, at least?
Probably he would still see a good amount. In terms of how many games, I can't really say. I definitely would say 20+, where that's going to be combined starting and substitute appearances.
Yeah.
Plus, also, there's going to be the cup competitions and stuff, and we're in Europe again as well, so you got that to factor in as well. So there will be regular game time, but will he be a great striker? No. Will he get double-digit goals? Maybe scraping it. Maybe he scrapes double-digit, but I just don't think he is a top-six caliber striker. I wouldn't even necessarily say he's a Premier League caliber striker. I think he's more suited for the Championship more than anything.
Yeah, potentially. Fair. Can I just read you guys a stat that I've just read, which is actually outrageous on Ousmane Dembele last year?
Go on.
Although only completing 90 minutes 9 times, he racked up 13 assists, which was the most in La Liga, and topped the expected assists rankings across Europe's top 5 leagues.
Yeah, he Xavi did quite like him. He did have a bit of a renaissance under Xavi.
That is unreal, though, isn't it? Nine games.
Well, nine full games.
Yeah, so nine. Yeah,
other appearances. You'd assumed.
Yeah, so 90 minutes completed 9 times. So yeah, other appearances along with that. But to have the 13 assists for Barcelona is impressive. Although you've got to take into account they will play some Mickey Mouse teams and score 5 or 6 goals. But across expected assists rankings across Europe's top 5 leagues. So this is obviously times he set up somebody who then hasn't scored as well as have scored, etc. And that is the top across the top 5. That's incredible.
Expected.
If Chelsea got him, it'd be another one that I'd be excited to see in the Prem.
It's worth a gamble.
Along with Haaland.
It'd be a good replacement for... Jot. I don't know why I'm saying this is so difficult. I think he'd be a good signing for Chelsea just in the fact that if they then manage to offload Hakim Ziyech, another injury prone right winger, naturally slots in. I think Hakim Ziyech is also approaching 30, so it'd be a good time to get rid of him. If someone about 4 or 5 years is junior, you're replacing injury prone right winger with injury prone right winger. And it's got more potential.
I just thought that was an insane statistic after reading it. I couldn't wrap my head around what it was saying.
That's absolutely fair. Let's have a look. Is there anything else? Obviously, we need to touch on Sadio Mane. We briefly touched on it during the Shapeshifters event. $42.5 million. Not bad for someone in the last year of their contract. Pretty good value.
Pretty good.
For both sides, I think. Liverpool get a hefty chunk of money back, and Bayern gets a quality player for fairly cheap.
Yes, but obviously the caveat of this is that they lose Lewandowski.
Yes.
So you're talking about some serious boots to fill.
Sadio Mane is quite the player, though. If you base it purely off of Champions League, he's been hugely influential.
Oh yeah, massively. But he's got big boots to fill. Not only that, like, he's a completely different type of player, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So it's the adaptation of playing to someone's strengths that is very different to what you've been used to. So it's tough to. I certainly wouldn't say that you can rank what his time at Bayern Munich is going to be like from this first season, because it's more than just training ground that is going to get them playing the way that they will around Mane. They need some experience, game time, and you don't get that in friendlies. You don't get that in, you know, in the training ground. That just comes from match experience. So I think if he has a half decent season, then you would look to think that the following season would be like standout. I know what will happen. Everybody that would see he has a half decent season next year would straight away go on the comparison for Lewandowski, and obviously that's not fair, I suppose. But again, if Lewandowski moves, I'm sure the same would happen to him.
Okay, so last week you said about how many goals you think Haaland could score for Man City this next season. Mane, okay, so how many goals do you think he might score for Bayern next season then?
So it'll obviously be quite a lot, because Bayern are in a lot easier league than Man City are. They play against a lot of teams where they're going to score 5 or 6 goals pretty much weekly, almost.
Mm-hmm.
I'd debate that personally, but yeah.
Really?
Okay. Continue though. We'll get to the debate at the end of this, I guess. But keep going.
So I reckon he will get high teens.
High teens.
16, right. 17, maybe.
Okay. Because he'll most likely be deployed at striker.
Yeah, he will.
As he has been for Liverpool this last year.
You know, every league, you can argue, are going to have, the top teams are going to have those games where they play the lesser teams and have high scoring affairs. And I personally would say the Bundesliga is the closest you're probably going to get to in terms of the Premier League, in terms of style, but not necessarily quality, because obviously Bayern pretty much dominate that league. But in terms of when you look at the amount of teams that are competing near the top and then the usual sort of like mid-table, it's very similar-ish to the Premier League.
One fact that you do need to mention with the Bundesliga is it's less games. Obviously, having 18 teams compared to 20 means 34 games instead of 38 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, saying he'll score less than Haaland's fairly sensible in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Less games available, four less games. You probably will. That being said, I do see him getting into the 20s if a player like, say, I believe Patrick Schick also got into 20s this year. Do I see him as replacing Lewandowski as the focal point of a Bayern attack? Do I see him being more clinical than, say, and especially the competition getting lesser, you'd think, with the amount of teams selling big names. So Haaland's now gone from Dortmund. Are they going to find someone else to seamlessly fit in? Defenders being constantly linked away. I know Spurs are linked with Ndika at the moment. We're also linked with Hinkepi. So teams would possibly be weakening again. That would increase Bayern's stranglehold on the Bundesliga. Obviously, going to say we don't look into the Bundesliga that much, as you couldn't tell based off of some of these opinions coming out. But it would seem that way. I can see him getting into the 20s, though.
Yeah, so looking at like some of the fixtures then. So the highest win was 6-0 against Mönchengladbach, and that was with them having 10 men. But in terms of maybe five or more, like, high-scoring game, I mean, actually, I've just seen a 12-0, but that's in a cup game against a very low league opposition, which, wow, that's quite a big result. But yeah, in terms of five or higher in the actual league, looks like it is just the four games that they scored five or more. And I would say, like I said, Liverpool and Man City have probably had similar-ish sort of numbers in terms of high-scoring games. Especially Liverpool, I'd say. But yeah, I think Mane would do good like next season. And I think, again, it just his flexibility of being able to play out the wing, play on through the middle. Like, for instance, they might sign another striker, Bayern. So they might incorporate him out wide. They might incorporate him down the middle. But with the likes of Gnabry, Sané and stuff like that, it gives them such diversity.
Why did you sign another striker when you got cheaper promoting?
The man who's probably got the same agent as Nketiah.
Yeah, he definitely has. Yeah. That agent must be the busiest man in the world now, because I think his phone must have been ringing all last year. And the year before that, to be fair, because wasn't it PSG first?
You'd believe so.
It's crazy.
It was PSG. He went from Stoke to PSG.
Stoke to PSG to buy. I mean, come on now. If that guy's, if that agent's not dripped in gold by now, I don't know what's going on.
He deserves it. To be fair, he would deserve.
Oh yeah,
it.
He deserves a medal.
That would be part of, yeah, be part of the jewelry.
Deserves a knighthood.
Some would argue the opposite. Some would say he does not deserve that for credit for what he's done for football. He's made it worse, arguably.
Shall we talk about Lewandowski then, quickly?
Yeah.
We can do. So we know that it's obviously not a signed seal, though, do we, as such? I mean,
no,
Mane's pretty much done. Looks like he's Barcelona bound.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much almost a guarantee, even though it hasn't been confirmed, but I feel like that's his likely destination, according to himself and whatever's going around in the newspapers at the moment. Bit of an interesting one, especially the financial situation Barcelona are in.
Yeah, it must be a real shame, Brad, you know. You can't put him up there with the likes of Ronaldo because he's not played in the Premier League. If he goes to Chelsea to replace Lukaku, then you might get considered to be one of the best of all time.
He might. And it would be so nice to see him in the Premier League. Actually, I think either way, I think it's going to be nice to see him in a different league where there is a sort of different style of football played. I always think that, you know, he's been a one club man, hasn't he? Like, pretty much.
Dortmund existed.
Dortmund doesn't count.
But really, like, not remembered for as much as obviously his long time spent at Bayern Munich. And obviously, it was still in the same league. So I'm excited to see it. But again, it's another case of, you know, a team having to adapt to a different style of striker. I know that at some point, obviously, they had Suarez, arguably quite similar, but not the same in style. Not like basically just not your nimble kind of forward. Obviously, he's given Aubameyang some competition as well, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what Barcelona's sort of mindset is. They seem to just be trying to snap up. They're trying to do a Juventus where they snap up a bunch of people on frees or things like that as their business. But they're practically bankrupt, so surely Frankie de Jong is out the door, and surely the United deal's on if they're going to try and fund anything.
It seems like it's that thing of where, like, once they know they're getting a certain amount for a player, they have some sort of list where they're able to sort from high to low and see what player they can get in that value. Because obviously there's got to be a pretty much a one in, one out. So they're going, right, if we can get 45 million for Frankie de Jong, who is available for 45? Oh, look, Lewandowski's can be available for 45 million. Let's get him.
I think the asking price is like 80 million. They're downing it to maybe 65 million, 70 million is De Jong.
Really?
About to say 45. Is it insane? I'm pretty certain they paid. How much did they pay for him initially? Wasn't it like 7? Why? I don't know why I got 70 in my head.
I think they're mainly having to cut the price because of the pure fact is the type of debt that they have. Because unlike with most clubs where it's a bit more long term, so they can pay it back in instalments, apparently Barcelona's debt, which is around 700 million or something like that, is short-term debt, so they have to find that money and try and repay it ASAP.
So yeah, he was 75 million euros. Man United failed with a guaranteed £60 million bid and could offer their next bid at 70 million.
Also, I will ask a question separately now about a different sort of midfielder who could also be classed as an attacker. How do you solve a problem like Nkunku? Where does he go?
Does he go PSG?
I think the main club I've seen linked with him is the one we mentioned a few times now, is Chelsea. Yeah, where does he go? Because surely he doesn't stay at Leipzig. You'd think, but there's so much money being flown around. I believe, didn't they only ask for 60 million at Leipzig as well? Someone's going to latch on to it. I feel I saw that as an article at some stage. It could be completely off, but
that's crazy.
It's probably a Bayern move or something like that. I feel that's the type of thing that they would do. Just see that nobody else sees it, they see it, they'll pick it up because it's within the league. They probably have the contacts. It's probably what you'll see happen after Mane potentially is in Nkunku.
So, in searching him, the latest thing I found on any sort of transfer gossip, we'll say it's gossip because obviously none of this is ever guaranteed, is Real Madrid.
The question
around it is basically just whether they can afford his price tag, it says, because they've obviously got Tchouaméni as well. So, I mean, what is Nkunku's price tag? I suppose we need to find out exactly, because if it is as cheap as 60 million, He's a bargain, right?
If it depends on the release clause, because let's face it, most of the foreign leagues like the Bundesliga and La Liga tend to have quite often release clauses, don't they?
So especially. This, I found something as of February for an asking price that they've named €75 million as the asking price for Nkunku.
So you're talking about €65 million.
So it
seems reasonable, really, doesn't it?
Seems very reasonable considering the season he's just had. But the problem that I find with Nkunku is, where do you actually play him?
Oh, right, okay. That's, yeah.
Because he plays sort of everywhere.
He's played as a striker for a lot of time, isn't he?
This season, this yes. Year. But previously, he played anywhere from... I think he even possibly played one or two games at fullback. He played pretty much wherever they needed him to play.
Which, let's face it, for £65 million, isn't a bad problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. To get the French James Milner, but more specialised.
Yeah.
Is quite nice.
It is pretty nice.
I feel like I've absolutely ruined him there by calling him the French James
Milner.
That is
not great. It's not great. Yeah. if he ever was to watch this, probably just said who. But yeah, I agree. I think it's not a bad problem to have. £65 million on a guy that can pretty much play any forward position on the pitch and maybe even somewhere sort of lower in the midfield. I mean, yeah, price-wise, that's a steal.
I think he'll stay at Leipzig. I don't think anyone's going to buy him. That's my prediction.
Three days ago, it seems Arsenal are linked.
Okay, he's going to Arsenal. I changed my mind.
Yeah.
I thought I might change it. But now they've spent all that money on
exactly what I was going to say. They were, but they decided that Nketiah was a better deal.
Oh, imagine the scenes.
Oh, mate.
No, I'll cry.
It could be like that one, you know, when it's like Arsene Wenger was close to signing Zlatan back in like 2000 and something. It could be like one of those ghost stories. It's like, oh, Arsene Wenger wanted to sign practically anyone good.
But with all of that, I think that covers pretty much whatever we've seen, rumours and confirmed transfers so far this week. We're going to move over to the Q&A section. And, well, it's not Q&A without good old GH, right? So he supplied three different questions. One, we've already covered in previous episode. Another, we've already sort of covered again, talking about like cards with multiple cards and players with multiple cards. So we'll go with his other question that he has supplied and trying to find it. This is more for you guys because I'm a Spain fan, basically. This is to do with Gareth Southgate, basically. So, obviously, results for England recently have not been that great. So he's basically saying about like Gareth Southgate potentially being sacked. Who is replacing Gareth Southgate for the England job? Because he's presumed that Southgate was actually going to get sacked after the Hungary game, but it hasn't happened.
No.
But if you were to replace, if Gareth Southgate was to get replaced, who is your ideal candidates?
I mean, first of all, the reason it's not happening is because it's not a real tournament, is it? Let's face it. Whatever happens in our performances, it's not a big stage competition. So you can't. It's like sacking someone after a poor run of friendlies. Like it just wouldn't happen. We'd need to go and absolutely flunk the World Cup, and I genuinely just don't think we will. I don't. I hope he makes some clever decisions before the World Cup. Tomori being maybe one of them.
Believe he got injured beforehand, so that's why he's not been involved. I think he got injured.
Hopefully he will be fit to be able to be picked for the World Cup. But so it's not a factor, but if you're talking about potential managers, I don't really know who's even in the market for an international job. Because that's the thing, it's like we've obviously seen that Austria have now got Ranić, and you know, I didn't really see much of a spark or anything out of him for Man United, so I don't know whether Austria will kick on with him either. But obviously they've not got the sort of caliber of players that we have, but I don't know. I think I'd probably want to keep it young. I don't want to see like us bring in a Roy or someone of that kind of stature that we have done in the past. I like someone who's going to maybe be able to keep in touch with the youth, because I think our team is now at a nice age where we've got a team set for like the next couple of competitions. So yeah, that's all I would say. I'd say a more, if I could pick a Premier League manager to go right now, and who may well not survive his post due to the fact that the team will outgrow maybe their designs on him, I'm going to say Eddie Howe.
So you're saying, fortunately, he's one of the odds-on favourites. I think he's the tied favourite for the job if Southgate gets sacked.
That is by pure accident. I have not said anything about this. It's just that I just think
I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just saying he can relate.
Yeah, I just think I can see just the way that he will be able to relate to the sort of younger team and the way he goes about his business. I like his managing style, but I do think that he won't get as much time as Newcastle as he wants, because I think as they increase, I think their demands for a more proven, let's say that, more proven manager.
What about you, Luke? Who are you thinking should potentially?
So I'll go with the other odds on favourite. They're tied on odds. I'll go for the current Brighton manager, Graham Potter. I think that's...
I like that as well.
I think that will make sense. Mm-hmm. Mr. XG gets the chances created. You'll be giving him Harry Kane at striker. So I don't think there'll be any excuses for why the XG would be so high and no goals.
No.
That would solve that issue. The other one, I mean, this is purely... This isn't a serious suggestion, but it would be funny, is... Give it Sean. Give it Sean Dyche. Have Brexit ball taken on the World Cup.
My goodness.
Imagine that.
Imagine it, actually, to be fair.
Couldn't go wrong.
Is it any worse than this insisting on playing two CDMs? Probably. I like that, though. I like that. Yeah, so I didn't realise, obviously, the Eddie Howe thing, but I like that equal favourite is Graham Potter, I think, yeah. But either of them, I'd be happy. But at the moment, like, to me, Gareth's done nothing wrong. Like, this is the tournament to experiment a little bit with in terms of your team and stuff. Yes, our performances haven't been great. Something needs to change. I hope that something does change in our upcoming games before we go and get into the big one. But you can't base it on these performances. Like, you know, I've seen teams in this that haven't put out full strength teams, and I've seen teams that have gone into this looking like they're trying to win the World Cup. So,
okay, you know, we put out strong sides and still played like utter trash. We lost 4-0 to Hungary with a strong side.
A Hungary who look like they've gone to try and win this like as a World Cup.
Okay, we scored. We were the only. Do you know who the only team who scored less goals than us this tournament is? San Marino.
I was going to say Faroe Islands, but yeah.
San Marino, the only team to have scored less goals than England in those four games, and that goal was a penalty. We scored as many open play goals as San Marino.
It's not great, is it?
No, it's not great, but it's suddenly it's some Mickey Mouse tournament. We don't care. We care about getting embarrassed on home turf. It may not have been Wembley, it may have been Molineux. But that's outrageous.
Yeah.
Moving over to the next question, which is from Girk, who is asking, who do you think has had the best transfer window so far? So we're still early days within the transfer market, you know, and the final answer could potentially change once the transfer market is fully closed, but at the moment, and I think me and Luke are going to be in agreement with this, and it's fucking weird coming from my mouth right now saying this, but Spurs have had the best transfer window so far. Like, it's just crazy.
it is crazy. Seeing Spurs get business done and good business done early. We've got a new backup keeper because obviously we've let Gallini go back to Atalanta. Almost said Bergamo for a minute. But we've let him go back to Atalanta, who wasn't particularly good. We picked up Fraser Forster on a free. $25 million spent on Perisic for wing back depth, which is good.
Yeah.
You then get Bissouma in for $25 million, a player that's been incredibly highly rated, Premier League proven. Shows up in big games, I believe Spurs and United being the main ones that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got more players linked. It on paper, Spurs have had an incredible window.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could all go horribly wrong. There is a sort of asterisk over the Bissouma deal. He's currently got the ongoing trial, for example. But at the moment, some very shrewd business.
Yes, and for me, the only other club that I might sort of put an honourable mention in is for Real Madrid. Yeah. I think getting Rudiger on free, great acquisition, gives them more depth at the centre back slot as well, and I just think it helps put them push on for next season as well. And then Tchouaméni, like, again, great acquisition, a very expensive acquisition, but great acquisition nonetheless, and it basically is sort of paving the way for them and their future, because obviously Casemiro, Modric and Kroos are getting on and don't know how many more years they've got at the club.
Yeah.
So they are definitely thinking of the future and some good signings for Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm not even going to sort of waste anyone's time or beat around the bush. I agree with both of those two.
Well, hey, easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Now, I'm going to add a third question to this because in some ways, in terms of FIFA topics and stuff, there's something that happened last week. I believe it was last week. It was the first time it happened. In the store, we got untradeable player packs for the first time. Yes. And they're cheaper than like the actual tradable version. So like 125k pack is 90k for the same pack, but you get all untradables instead. What are you guys thinking of what EA have done there? Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think it's a bad thing? What's your thoughts and opinions?
Do I think it's a good or bad thing? It's not. It's just for me, it's just a waste of money.
Agreed.
The only reason I say that is because, like, I just think that you get your untradables from your packs to do your SBC with. So I don't think people want to go and spend their coins or their points on untradable packs. So that to me just seems a bit, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. But talking about that, we're then looking at now. So right this moment, there are untradable 86 plus star player mini pack. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So this
guaranteed
is four gold rare players with one guaranteed to be an 86 or higher, in addition to a player pick between three players rated 89 or higher on a 10 game loan. That is only a 600 FIFA point or a 30k pack. That I can understand. Because it's a good chance at maybe getting a shapeshifter. It's only three in the store, so it's not like it's encouraging you to go and blow your load on FIFA points.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of untradeable ultimate packs and things, I don't agree with it, because I just don't think... I think that they can be so unpredictable that if you're going to do it, you may as well just pay... I think it was the untradeable ultimate packs as well weren't as good a deal. I think rare player packs were like 30k in terms of like coin values, so they were like nearly half the price of a 50k pack, whereas the 100k packs and the 125s were a lot nearer. I think that they were 90k for a 100k, and did they do ultimate packs?
They did. The ultimate was 90, I believe.
Yes, that's right. And the 50k pack was 35. Because I opened up a few of them just out of curiosity, because the odds are the same. There's no difference in the odds.
Not true.
What?
Someone, I think it was Atani, was streaming, and I saw there was a 0.2% difference. untradeable was 0.2 worse.
That's interesting.
0.2 worse on Team of the Season players, I believe.
Okay. Well, at the time that I opened, it said on the probabilities they were the same.
Interesting.
Whether that's because they didn't properly refresh it, because I think that was on the first day that they introduced them as well. So, probably lying to me, good old EA.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was like 8.2% to 8% or something like that. Sort of a vibe. Or it might have been 9. But, okay. Yeah, it was 0.2 to 0%. But my take on them, though, you're pretty much making the same loss you would off of an average pack. If you pick the untradeable one, yes, you're going straight into SBC fodder, sure. But if you're selling the cards that you get, you'll probably get a discard value in form from 125k pack, plus maybe, this is at other points in time, but so yeah, you get a discard special card and then maybe a few boards, maybe a walkout. You could probably make 30k off that, which is about the difference in the pack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just the same, except you're just doing it for the fodder.
And you just lose less as well. That's probably the biggest factor.
Yeah, and I've just opened the 86 mini ones because there's only three of them anyway. Like I say, you can't sort of break the bank massively.
Yeah.
And in terms of my actual cards, I got Oblak, Varane, and Verratti. So Oblak obviously being a bit more of a standout one, not too bad. And in my loans, I got Oblak again, and I then got Shapeshifters Spinazzola, and I've just got Shapeshifters Aubameyang.
If only it was Robertson, you could make that vid.
Yeah, I could remake it, yeah. So, you know, in terms of, like, if I got any objectives things coming up, that's quite nice, and it hasn't cost me an arm and a leg to do that. But the other packs, I think, getting into untradeables and ultimate packs, jumbo rares and things, I just think stay away. Don't do it.
The other three gold rare players that you got in each of those packs, did you have anything noticeable in those?
I think my highest was an 83.
Okay, so going off of Varane, Oblak and Verratti, on PlayStation at the moment that's 66k, so you got
so
I
lost
24k
to get two loan
shapeshifters.
Yeah, that's just alright. It's okay.
Not bad, is it really?
No, it means you get to test them out just like you wanted to.
Yeah.
And Aubameyang's actually a nice looking one.
That is it for this week's Q&A then. So thank you everyone that supplied the questions. There was a few others, but again, the problem is with us doing so many episodes now, there's sort of repeat questions sort of coming up, so it's not really much point doing them again when we've already sort of answered them in the previous one. However, if information changed, like say for instance that who's had the best transfer window so far, we could answer that again at the end of the transfer window, because obviously the answer could potentially change. But if the answer's not changed, there's no point us really realistically answering the question. But thank you very much, guys, appreciate it. And thank you for listening to this week's episode. Brad and Luke, thank you for coming on to the episode as always.
No problem.
Never
at all.
A problem.
And we'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Peace out, guys.